Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Set smart TV to record the football later.
You've got to be joking, haven't you? I ain't got a blooming clue. But I tell you what, if you want to chuck a few quid on it, your best bet is to try that BetVictor app. Even I'm a whiz on that. Listen, I've got a little tip for you, and you did need this from me. Oh, that'll be Sandra with the shopping. Sorry, mate, I've got a dash.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, seen the remote?
Very good day to you all. Welcome back to BetVictor's Eye on La Liga. As once again, we look through all of the big stories coming out of Spanish football. We're recording this podcast, and I say we because it's, of course, myself, Ollie Wilson, joined by Jason Pettigrew. And we're recording this on the Sunday evening. All the games haven't quite finished, but all of the main ones that we want to get into this week certainly have. Jace, how are you, mate? Very good to speak to you once again. Have you not been tempted to head out to South America after our chat with David Winsor and go and check out Gachado for yourself?
Yeah, I'm always tempted, but we're always busy. It's not an opportunity for me this side of Christmas to be able to go out there and put my feet up for a week or two.
Put your feet up for a week or two. I would hope that if you went out there, it would be a full work trip and no lazing about at all, because I tell you, that's exactly what we do when we're out there.
Of course it is. So you keep telling us, you keep hammering that point home, which leads me to believe that actually it's just a bit of a jolly.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm overselling it, isn't it? I need to start reining it in a little bit. No, it's all, you've got to have a little bit of play if you're doing a lot of hard work. But
I guess so.
I think the playtime's actually here back in the UK, I have to say. And playtime's been had in Spanish football as well, because Barcelona on the weekend were playing with all of us with the stories of troubles, of course, taking place in the city and with the protests and the whole political makeup in there. But the football club doesn't seem to be too bothered by it at all. A 3-0 victory on Saturday away from home against Eibar. Very convincing indeed, Jace.
It was a professional performance, wasn't it? I mean, I know people are going to say, oh, it's only Eibar or Eibar, however you want to pronounce it. Barcelona have never lost to them. But, you know, Jose Luis Mendilibar's size, they're always hardworking. They make themselves hard to beat. I think what I enjoyed most about that game was seeing all three of Griezmann, Suarez and Messi on target for the first time. Also assisting once or twice. And the associative play with the three of them was very, very nice to watch. I know, obviously, Suarez and Messi are almost telepathic anyway, but Griezmann now is really getting the groove for me. I like a lot of his defensive work, which, you know, he doesn't often get a lot of credit for. But the three of them were too hot to handle on the day. And I know Frenkie de Jong got a standing ovation from the home fans when he left the pitch. Sensational performance from him, I think. We're going to see some really good stuff from him over the next sort of 18 months, 2 years, alongside Arthur as well.
He's had a mixed bag of a start, really, hasn't he? Because there's been some performances where fingers have been pointed of being pretty woeful from the Dutchman in the middle of the park for Barca. Do you think that was just teething, getting into this squad, getting into the side, getting used to Barcelona's setup?
I think it was maybe that. But we have spoken before about Ernesto Valverde not allowing him to play in his correct position. Griezmann's begun to sort of learn the role on the left side for Barca. Still not really a natural position for him, but De Jong has shown for the Dutch national team and for Barca when he's in his rightful position, he's a sensational player. So you would expect that after having seen that, Valverde would think, right, okay, well, we need to stick him in there. It's a long way back for Ivan Rakitic, for example. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he now goes in January, because he's just not really getting as many minutes as he probably deserves, because he's still a good player as well.
Well, there's a lot of talk about him potentially being off anyway, and certainly being out of favour at the moment at Barcelona, Ivan Rakitic, and his future does or has seemed up in the air for the majority of this season. Interesting what you said as well about the chemistry coming with Griezmann and Lionel Messi. The touch, just the delicate side outside of the boot touch to Messi for Messi's goal from the Frenchman was wonderful. And Messi recognised it as well, because he turned straight away after scoring and pointed at him and was like, That was a little bit of genius. You know, it's nothing much. It's perhaps easily overlooked, but it's a delicate little pass that's perfectly weighted for Messi to be able to pull the trigger and fire home. And I think that's definitely, that chemistry was always going to come because they're two excellent players that know how to learn and feed off each other.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I think if you recall, we said back at the beginning of the season when Griezmann was going through a bit of a sorry patch, if you like, I sort of said, look, let's give it a third of the season or a quarter of the season, whatever, and see how he gets on. And now he is in the groove. He's looking very sharp in every single game. He's working very, very hard. And I think, you know, come the end of the season, we'll be looking back and thinking that's money well spent on him, to be honest.
Very much so. So that put Barcelona on the top of the table with the earliest game on Saturday, with Atleti against Valencia and, of course, Real Madrid still to come Saturday, yesterday. And let's move into that Atleti against Valencia game, because that was a game that Atletico Madrid controlled large parts of, particularly the first half. They were excellent. Simeone's side, of course, have been excellent this season, as they always are, defensively and keeping sides out. And Valencia had very little to really threaten the Atleti goal with. But they don't take their chances at the moment, Atletico Madrid. They're really struggling to score. Costa only getting his second goal of the season. That coming from the penalty spot as well. They need somebody to start finishing chances consistently. Otherwise, they're going to be in problems.
They've only scored 8 goals in 9 games. And that's twice in the last 6 games, I think, from open play. And they both of those goals came against Mallorca. And Simeone, I think, came out after the game and said that Costa and Morata, they're poor at the moment. They've got to work hard. They've got to keep working hard. I mean, does that suggest that perhaps both are not putting in as much effort as their manager would want? Or it's just, as strikers always do, they have these patches where they don't score. They just have to work through it and come out the other side. And it's just gone on for so long, isn't it? I mean, as you say, defensively, you can't really grumble with Atleti. They've been rock solid all season, but it's just up front where they need to be banging the goals in. You know, João Felix has gone off the ball a little bit. He's now been hit with an injury. He's going to be out, we think, for about 3 weeks, so missing a couple of Champions League games. You know, it's a difficult one. I mean, on the day, actually, it was a very watchable game, I thought. Even in midfield, where it was always going to be a battle with the likes of Coquelin, Kondogbia, Thomas and Koke, it was still, you know, you could sit there and they're the sort of games, the battles that you can watch all day long. And it's just, I think, a shame, as you said, for Atleti that they couldn't perhaps get a second goal that their dominance in the first half deserved. But what an equaliser from Parejo.
Yeah, fantastic set piece from the Valencia captain, Dani Parejo, able to find the equaliser in the 81st minute and almost found a winner as well, a fine strike from range that Jan Oblak, who I do think Oblak actually is probably the best goalkeeper we've got in football at the moment. Magnificent shot stopper. He couldn't do anything with the first goal, with Valencia's goal, but the save to keep out Parejo's second effort and ensure at least his side got a share of the points was absolutely fantastic. And to be honest, I know he's got a good defence in front of him, but Oblak makes a fair number of very testing saves as well. I don't think you look at it at Atleti's defensive record and you don't see it being how it is without it being Oblak between the sticks.
No, but he's won multiples Amora trophies, isn't he, over the last few seasons, and you don't do that unless you're a really high-quality custodian. And, I mean, he is. Yes, they've got a great defence, but you beat that back four, you've still got him, and he's just like a brick wall for Atleti a lot of the time.
I was just trying to get you to rise to the, because you were saying last week that Ter Stegen was the best goalkeeper a couple of weeks ago, is the best goalkeeper in world football right now. And of course, we touched on goalkeepers as well with De Gea over the international break too. I was just seeing if you would rise to that, Jace. You didn't nibble on the line I was throwing out for you there. I was trying to get you worked up on a Sunday night.
I saw it coming and I swerved it. But let's be honest, I mean, Oblak is a fantastic keeper. There's no point in sitting here and turning around and saying so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, Oblak and Ter Stegen, I think, are the two best keepers in the league at the moment.
Do you have, for Atleti going back to their forward line, do you have to perhaps start thinking about splitting up Morata and Costa as a front two? I don't think it seems to work together. They're two very similar players, to be honest, because they're goal scorers. They're not really creators. They are finishers. And so, particularly with João Félix going out for possibly 3 weeks, as you mentioned, you know, they're going to be starved a little more of service, and it's service that those two players certainly need. And I just think playing them one or the other as a lone frontman with the supporting cast around is far better for both of those players.
Yeah, perhaps, or maybe he was thinking about Angel Correa. I mean, I know he's sort of, he does blow hot and cold, but quite a lot of the time when he gets stuck in there, he does get the odd goal or two. I don't know, it's 4-4-2 for me that Simeone seems to stick to. Maybe, as you say, like a 4-5-1 might suit them. Just clearly, both Morata and Costa are going through crises of confidence at the same time, and that really isn't good for the Rossi Blancos, I'm afraid.
Yeah, not at all. Atleti then unable to pick up 3 points, losing a bit of pace and space between them and Barcelona, now sat in fifth on 16 points, 3 points off Barca in the table. But it did mean still that Real Madrid in the evening game on Saturday could go to the summit once again and ensure they stayed on top of the pile. Of course they would surely just sweep past, even away from home, a lowly Real Mallorca side, the side newly promoted back into La Liga, and sat only on 7 points after their first 8 games of the season. And then, my goodness, I've never seen a side spoil the bed so much, to put it nicely, as I have done. And not even... It started before kickoff with the formation, with the 11 players that Zidane has put out. What is this guy thinking? What is Zidane doing, putting aside... Firstly, I know he's had a lot of players travelling over the international break. That's fair enough. But this is like a mishmash of a team that you would never look down on a Real Madrid team sheet and think that's going to strike fear into people. It's a train wreck from the get-go.
Well, I mean, he's got injuries to contend with to important players like Bale, like Modric, Lucas Vasquez, less so. He's left players out because of a must-win Champions League game. So players like Carvajal haven't played, but... I tend to agree. I mean, Real Madrid would be very pleased that El Clasico has been postponed now, because I think if they'd have come up against Barcelona at Camp Nou, God knows what would have happened. That game against Mallorca, they could have played for the entire weekend and still not scored. And it's very worrying. I think in terms of what you're saying about with Zidane, I think it probably shows up his lack of tactical nous again. We keep talking about it and we keep giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's Zinedine Zidane, but why not play, say, Fede Valverde, for example, is a player who's in form, most importantly. He's confident, he's physical, he gives them something a bit different. I don't know, he could have played a different formation to the 4-4-2 again. Players like Vinicius Junior, fantastic when they're on the ball moving forward and going towards the area, absolutely terrible when it comes to finishing. And Jovic as well, he still hasn't scored. I don't know how many games that is he's played for them now. I suppose Real Madrid, they're supposed to be exciting and, you know, you sit there on the edge of your seat, they get you off their seat, and it's just a lot of huff and puff at the moment and not really much else.
Yeah, 8 games, no goals at the moment for Luka Jovic, who's come in from Eintracht Frankfurt after having 17 goals in the Bundesliga last year and 10 in the Europa League last season as well. This is a trouble I have with buying flash-in-the-pan strikers, is that you can have one wonderful season, but that may be a culmination of so many things at the club that you're currently at and may not reflect actually what you are as a centre-forward. Particularly, look, the Bundesliga is not the same as playing for Real Madrid. Playing at Eintracht Frankfurt is not the same as playing at Real Madrid. There's far more pressure on you. It's a completely different style of football. And he's going to need time to adapt, certainly. But for instance, like, I always think of it as Grant Holt, former Norwich centre-forward. At Norwich, he scored goals. But that was like the only team that Grant Holt
now,
was going to score goals.
I never thought I'd hear.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's a loose one. But there is method in the madness here. Because Grant Holt would score goals at Norwich, but if he moved to any other club, he wouldn't score goals anywhere else. There was just something about the way Norwich played. It was a system that worked for him and players that knew how to feed him. And going somewhere else would take him out of that comfort zone, put him in a different side, perhaps different, obviously different players around him, perhaps slightly different tactics, and it just wouldn't work. And you knew it wouldn't work. Grant Holt would only get goals at Norwich. And some players are like that. Jovic, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens in the next year or so. But at the moment, it doesn't look like he fits into this Real Madrid side in the way they played. It's a shambolic starting 11 for Real Madrid that no side, as I say, should be fearful of. Benzema and Jovic is the front two. Casemiro, Vinicius Jr., James and Isco. But Isco's been off the boil and in and out of the side and certainly been lacking in form. James Rodriguez has come back and certainly hasn't been the player he was at Bayern Munich, although has had some decent performances. I'm completely over the idea of Vinicius Jr. He's the most wasteful forward in that Real Madrid side. He can't hit the target. He can't find a finish. And again, I think he was a young kid from Brazil who had a pretty impressive start to Real Madrid, but you've got to be able to do it consistently at that level. Yeah. And maybe he's been brought in too young, brought into the fold too young, and needs time elsewhere to really mature a bit more. Because that's again something, another easy mistake that there is to make. But he's wasteful in the front line in a Real Madrid team that can't afford to be wasteful. And as you say, they didn't look like they would create a goal-scoring opportunity for six games in a row against this Real Mallorca side, let alone over 90 minutes on Saturday night.
And I think I'd say with Jovic as well, though. I mean, he's very similar to Benzema, isn't he? And again, so that comes back to Zidane and his tactics. Yeah. Jovic is making the same runs as Benzema. He goes after the same balls. He expects the same sort of service. So, okay, they didn't have Bale there to play in the balls, but why not push Isco a bit further forward? Balls in behind, let, you know, Jovic run onto them, or, you know, perhaps change the formation again. But it was just too samey all the time. And in actual fact, for the most part, it was quite easy for Mallorca to defend. And this was a team that 2 years ago were playing two divisions down, and they had a majority of players that were still playing back then, playing at the weekend. I mean, what does that say about Real Madrid's? Even though, you know, not too long ago we were saying, you know, Real Madrid top of the league, unbeaten. This has really put them two steps back, I think.
Well, I think I predicted them to be outside of the top four this year. So in the first show of the new season. So maybe, just maybe, this might be taking place.
I wonder if Zidane or perhaps even Florentino Perez is also thinking at the other end, Courtois. I saw a stat, 11 saves he's made this season, but 12 goals he's conceded. I wonder if they're regretting having let Keylor Navas go, because he was rock solid and Zidane actually liked him as a keeper, didn't want to sell him once before. I wonder if he's sort of been forced to sell him this time.
Oh, he's 100% been forced to sell him this time. There's no doubt about that. Zidane will have been told, we spent all this money on Thibaut Courtois, so you've got to play him. And that's Zidane, I know, has probably come back into Real Madrid saying, I want to have control. This one, I want this to be my team. I want to make the decisions. But I think there are some decisions that the Real Madrid board and Florentino Perez are not going to allow Zidane to make, and that was going to be one of them. That was always going to be one of them. And not having Keylor Navas
there. Ridiculous, though, isn't it? Look how that's turned out.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to you saying about Real Madrid going after people with, you've had, you know, great seasons or big names. Thibaut Courtois, supposedly the best keeper at the World Cup, which was an absolute joke in the beginning. But because he's got that, the golden gloves or whatever they call it, oh yeah, we'll have him. Mm. Put him in, and it's really backfired for them at this point.
Courtois was fantastic at Atletico Madrid. He's got history of being one of the best goalkeepers in the world, without a doubt. So I don't think Thibaut Courtois is necessarily a bad keeper. I think he's in a bad position and in a very bad run of form, and has a pretty poor line in front of him as well, to be honest. It doesn't help him out too often. Lago Jr., of course, with the goal after 7 minutes for Real Mallorca. A fantastic victory for them, though. Let's not do a disservice to Real Mallorca, who went out there with an actual game plan. Oh, shock horror, Real Madrid. Actually having a thought and process to the way you play football. And then were able to beat away and bat away Los Blancos for the remaining 83 minutes as they held on to their lead. I mean, it was a decent performance from the home side. And without a doubt, everybody was ecstatic at the full-time whistle.
I thought Salva Sevilla was their best player as well. He's done excellent for them this season. And, you know, let's see how high up the table they go. I don't think they'll match Granada. They're flying at the moment. But it's good to see these promoted sides getting some great results.
Yeah, certainly is. And for Real Madrid, it causes headaches going into, as you mentioned earlier, a must-win game against Galatasaray coming up in the Champions League this week, with some, I don't want to say it's peculiar decisions being made in terms of the squad that is going to go out there, but, you know, there's plenty of injuries. There's no Modric, there's no Bale, there's no Lucas either. It's a side that's missing a fair chunk of its talent.
I still think they're too much for Galatasaray. I mean, if they can't win that game, they don't deserve to go through. But even if they weren't to get any points out there, they've still got three games to get 9 points from. So it would be a big shock to me if Real Madrid don't go through.
He's going to have Eden Hazard at least, who didn't play on the weekend, of course. Vinicius Junior, I imagine, will be playing. And if I was Zidane looking at the front line that he's got to be able to pick from, you'd go with Hazard, Vinicius Junior, as much as I dislike Vinicius Junior's form at the moment, but best of a very bad bunch. And then Benzema as the main forward. Have Casemiro anchoring in the heart of the pitch with Toni Kroos and James Rodriguez in the midfield. Varane, Ramos, Carvajal, Marcelo, Courtois. I imagine that will be the starting 11 this week.
But it's odd, isn't it, that you've got to this stage and it is like it's such a must win that it almost, that can all go out the window. It's just like, just get the result. You know, don't even care how you play, even if it's 1-0, just get the result.
Yeah, definitely. Atletico Madrid take on Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League this week at home at the Wanda Metropolitano. And Atleti, then I suppose they can focus a little bit more on the Champions League because the start to the La Liga campaign is fine. They're still within touching distance of the top sides like Barca, of course, only 3 points off the top of the La Liga table. But they've still got a job to do against in a Group D that's got Leverkusen, who are a solid German side, Lokomotiv Moscow, that's difficult away days, and they want to be first in this group ahead of Juventus.
Yeah. I suppose Bayer, they've only scored one goal, haven't they, this campaign? I know Atleti have struggled for goals in La Liga, but they've scored four in the Champions League. I think maybe when it comes to European competition, the shackles are off a bit more. And being at home as well, if they can get a win here, it really sets them up nicely for the latter three games. So the top two at the moment, I think, will be the two that go through. And as you say, it just depends now on whether Atleti can overhaul Juventus at the top of the table.
Must win for Valencia on the road against Lille, just because of the group that they're in with Chelsea there and Ajax leading the group. Chelsea and Valencia on 3 points after two games each, and Lille bottom of the group. It really is, you need to get your points against the French side in this group if you are going to have a chance of leapfrogging one of the other two.
100%. And obviously with all the stuff that's still going on behind the scenes there, it could be, you know, quite disruptive to their season. So I think if they can get any sort of result out there, it'll be good for them and set them up nicely for the return in a couple of weeks.
Very much so. And lastly, you know, thoughts go out to Barcelona. You have to travel again, poor Barca, in the Champions League in midweek on Wednesday. They're off to Slavia Prague. It's a long way to go as well. I mean, we should really feel sorry for Barca right now.
What are you saying? No, I think actually that was quite a difficult, will be quite a difficult game. I think the fact now the Clásico has been postponed actually helps them immensely, because I'm not sure that Ernesto Valverde would have rested any players, but it certainly could have been in the mind, you know, coming up to Clásico, can they afford to sort of rest one or two for the big game, as it were. I think now they can just put all their eggs into that basket and really push on and give themselves a great chance of early qualification again, as with many of the last few seasons.
Well, they are the favourites. Betvictor giving them 2-5 to win against Slavia Prague, Barcelona on Wednesday evening, which is no real surprise. Valencia 31-20 to get the victory away from home in France, according to Betvictor. Elsewhere around the Champions League for the Spanish sides, Real Madrid 4-7 to win on the road against Galatasaray on Tuesday night, and Atletico Madrid 3-5 to beat Bayer Leverkusen at the Wanda Metropolitano in one of the earlier kickoffs on Tuesday evening. Remember, of course, for all of your gambling needs on the Champions League and La Liga, get on to betvictor.com. Gamblers must be 18 or over. Please gamble responsibly. For more information, please visit begambleaware.org, and odds are subject to change as well. Jace, are we going for victories across the board then for the Spanish sides in midweek?
I think so. It'd be a big surprise if not.
Well, fingers crossed that the yellow and red, the Spanish flag, is waving proudly on European soil in the week. We'll be back in about 7 days' time or so to look back on more of the La Liga action as we move into round 10 next weekend. Of course, we were going to be talking all things El Clásico, but that has been postponed. But we will be looking at Atletico Madrid taking on Athletic Club, an entertaining affair coming up next Saturday evening in about 6 days or so. That's the main game on Saturday night. Sevilla against Getafe is another one that springs off the board next weekend on Sunday afternoon stroke evening. Osasuna hosting Valencia on the Sunday night game. Until then, Jace, thanks for joining us as always, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a good week and see you next week.
You can find Jason on Twitter at Jason Pettigrove. Myself, @O_J_Wilson. Of course, follow BetVictor as well at BetVictor for all the latest odds on La Liga and the Champions League. Until the next podcast, goodbye.